And welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live. It's Panthers week here at One Arrowhead Drive. As Kansas City gets ready to take on the Carolina Panthers, Mitch Holtis with you, voice of the Chiefs, along with the 15-year-long snapper and accomplished juggler, Kendall Gammon. Now, some encouraging signs in last week's game. No moral victories here, so don't crash or throw your laptop or your iPad down. No moral victories here, so we're not going to go there. However, a game where Kansas City took Denver to the wire, and most thought this would be a Denver blowout.
You're exactly right. When you look at Denver and what they've done the last five games, I believe scored 30 points in all of those wins. They were doing some really good things, Mitch, and I like the game plan. We were not in base one play, I think, the entire game. We were in that 4-2-6 or 4-2-5, rather, however you want to say it. But when it comes down to it, six defensive backs, one linebacker, and then your two bookends on the outside in Houston and Holly, and the two guys in the middle, run stoppers. It was interesting because the one issue that we've had in the past is people running against the dime defense, whatever you want to call it, the six defensive backs. And we did a good job of rotating the defensive linemen in there, all of them. They didn't always get the best pass rush, although sometimes they did. But what it did is it eliminated the run a little bit, and, of course, them losing their running back from the week before eliminated that also, but really did some good things, put pressure on Peyton. But, I mean, as you saw it, we talked about it. I mean, this guy, Peyton Manning, he's able to sidestep, you know, a half step here, a half step there, just gain that little extra half second and be able to get the ball off. And we'll talk about it some more. Also, let's be honest, he is not the same Peyton Manning. He's successful, but he's not the same Peyton Manning.
Not at all. But in that nickel set or penny set, but basically the Chiefs call it nickel, but it's 60 Bs.
Right.
I mean, you're allowed to have in that set Justin Houston and Tom Bahali both coming off the edge as if it's an even front, which
right.
basically
it
is.
It was, yes.
So the Broncos couldn't block those guys. The Chiefs pressured Manning. There were six quarterback hurries. They picked Manning with Flowers. We'll see that in a second. But it was an all day where Manning had to make plays. You mentioned he's still Peyton Manning. The Chiefs forced him to make a couple of infinitesimal plays, like two frames on the video,
right?
Because the pressure was there all day.
Well, you're exactly right. And some of the things that I saw also was you saw a ball that consistently floated a little bit from him. You saw balls that they weren't end over end, but they certainly were not tight spirals. I'll give him credit on the mental game, just being able to come back and get things done when you're throwing the ball like he is. Now, people are saying, Kendall, what are you saying? I mean, he did well. He did do well, but it's not the same Peyton, but he has figured out that he is what he is, and he's going to get the job done. He doesn't go downfield very, very often, but he did have one big one to Demaryius Thomas, and quite honestly, one of the better spirals he threw, certainly the best ball of all day because it wasn't bad coverage. But no. It was interesting. You saw Eric Berry come up. He was on the tight end most of the day. Every once in a while, we would try to bring, because basically what you had was Javier Arenas in the slot, then you had Jaleel Brown over at the other cornerback, and I saw a couple times where we brought Javier on a blitz, and then Eric was coming to cover his guy right there. But the fact is, somehow Peyton figured it out, and he checked to a run the other side a couple different times. Yeah. And I just think that's amazing of how he can be so astute and understand the game as well as he does.
Another side to this story that was encouraging, and hopefully will carry over to Carolina, was the attitude shown by the offensive line. Now, let's be honest. Six possessions past the 50 and only 9 points. That's not going to work.
No.
You got to start scoring some touchdowns to beat Carolina. But as we go to the video, particularly early, Kansas City's offensive line, again, no Brandon Albert. Kansas City had 18 of the first 21 plays in this game, Kendall. They just lined up and hit Denver in the mouth.
You have to give the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, credit because they out-schemed the Denver Broncos. They did a good job. They outmanned them. They were pulling people around, as you see. Osamoa right there springing a block as well. But what I liked was they were getting into the down linemen of the Denver defense, and they were stretching them laterally, and they were giving Jamal or Dexter, as you see here, room to run, getting them to the line of scrimmage without being touched, and then all of a sudden they can make cuts.
This play we'll put in the paper shredder file for now.
Yes, we'll file that one.
Yeah, we'll let that go for a second. Good thought. Thought there might be somebody that he could go to different than this, but this is a 30-yard throw, folks. The 53-yard width of the field, that's a more difficult throw than you would think. So the field goals are there, but the Chiefs are up 3-0. Now, this is a third straight week that they get a lead in a game after not having a lead in the first 8 of the year.
It's really amazing. And as you see DJ, who played very, very well, just making plays all over the field, not like he had the week before, because quite honestly, the top four tacklers for the Chiefs this week were defensive backs, which means you're getting the ball downfield and you're doing what Denver wants to do and what you don't want to have done to you if you're a Chiefs defensive back. But, you know, we had some good plays. We had some things go against us. That one could have went either way. I do think it was the right call that he didn't quite get it. But all the same, it's just... It's a game of inches, and you right here. I mean, just barely away from the outstretched arms of Jamar Newsom, or else you could have got in right there. It's just unfortunate because so many good things done right there. Very nice job right there by Brady Quinn, because that was a check down. He was looking down the middle, and that was his second read, and that was nice to see the QB get to his second read and understand, and that's what you saw a little bit later with Tony Moiaki as well.
Here's a little controversy. The Chiefs decide at 4th and 2 at the 4. You could get a 2-possession lead. If you try to get a touchdown here, the Chiefs have not had a 2-possession lead all year. They decide to kick the field goal. Romeo Crennel has explained all that already, so we move on. But it's 6-0. The Chiefs are making it difficult here on Peyton Manning. Again, this shows you the off-edge rush of this four-man front. But in the middle, we saw a push from Tyson Jackson.
You're exactly. And he didn't get credit for one sack, but it was just by a yard that Manning got across it one play later in the game. But, yeah, they consistently put pressure and made Peyton uncomfortable, which he's not used to being. He's a 106 passer rating with no pressure, and he was a 38 pass rating with pressure.
Well, a missed tackle there by Derek Johnson. You haven't seen that very often. And this is a wobbler, but again, under pressure, Manning under duress all day long. And the Chiefs had some missed tackles on this drive. Really one of the few times in the entire afternoon that Kansas City missed some tackles. And then it gets the man coverage. They were able to get Jacob Tammy free a couple times, including the touchdown. And this was the only troublesome thing in the penny, was the man didn't come through when it needed to on this drive.
Well, you're right. And, of course, they get in right before the half. I mean, when you were up 6-0, still going at half feeling good about things, but that was such a big play. And the tight end position against the Chiefs this year has been rough all year. I mean, and the fact is, you know, the other team gets paid as well, and that's a guy that has some pretty good rapport with Peyton Manning, having been a teammate of him in the past.
And yet the Chiefs' Jamaal Charles, we will talk about him a little bit later in the show. He is a ninja warrior. He goes over 100 yards again. Denver expected him to run. He still ran with some success. And this drive was interesting because, again, Kansas City carries over into the second half, the first half here, and had an opportunity. They get the lead back at 9-7. They get foiled on a sack. Maybe one of the few mistakes that Brady Quinn made in the day, because they were driving here to maybe try to get a touchdown, but the sack dooms the drive.
Well, you're right. It would have been such a confidence builder to come away with 7 instead of 3. And at this point in time, you've got to convert those when you're 0 for 2 in the red zone, or rather 0 for 4. I forget what it is now, but you've got to convert when you get down there. And like you said, getting across the 50 so many times and really starting with good field position the entire day and not being able to convert like they did.
Denver's got an issue the next couple of weeks, what to do at running back without Willis McGahee. They're trying to get Knowshon Moreno to regain his form, which he peeled off some decent runs in this game, but he doesn't have the power of McGahee. And then they got Hillman, the rookie. So it's curious to follow Denver here in what they will do in the run game. But Peyton Manning able to make enough plays. And again, Jacob Tammy, the guy that he brought with him from Indianapolis, was big at key times in the game. And the tight end, we've seen Carolina use it last night. The Chiefs have got to get the tight end covered as well. But this is the throw you're alluding to. This was put on the fingertips of Demaryius Thomas. You can't throw it any better than this one.
No, you're right. As you look at number 18 there, that's why he's going to the Hall of Fame someday, because of passes like that. And as you see the final numbers, 368 yards to 264. First downs, big disparity. Turnovers, I'm going to say we didn't have a turnover. That was just, you know, where it is. But time of possession, good. It just, when it came down to it, they converted once in the red zone. We did not. I thought the big thing that Denver did, and it's something that I guess you kind of had to expect, because you alluded to them not having the run game with McGahee out. When you look at it, 5 of their receivers had 4 catches, 82 yards, 64 yards, 62, 48, and 26. He spread the ball all around the field. He made you defend the entire field. And you talk about chunks, plays of 20-plus yards, but I'm going to go down a little bit. They had 9 plays of 15 yards or more. Those are chunks as well, and that made a difference in the game.
But you made him go to plan C and D, and it was the lowest output Manning has had all season long. Still, there's no joy in Mudville. The Chiefs lose the game, now 1-10, tying the worst start in franchise history. We get reaction in the locker room.
We feel good about, you know, the way we fought. But at the same time, you know, we want the victory. We're tired of more victories. Well, we're closer. We're closer. And I know we keep saying that, but, you know, this is a tough business. It's not an excuse, but, you know, I think progress is being made, but we got to get a win. We got to keep pressing forward.
Well, I think we did good. We had some great stops out there, but we didn't do good enough. So it was a couple of big plays they made. We should have stopped. It was a couple of times we should have got the field in third and long. We put ourselves in bad situations. So we just got to keep getting better.
We did play really well the first half. And the second half, you know, Peyton made a few adjustments and hurt us a couple times. But we're still in the game. But, man, it's just a you like these games because you're in the game and you have a chance to win it. And you come up short, it just hurts.
We playing for our pride. We playing for our organization. We playing for our coach and the teammates, trying to keep each other strong. That's all we got right now. So we trying to win games, and that's what we trying to bounce back from all the losses.
Kendall had one chief last week say he cannot wait just to win a game so you can go up and give a hug to guys like Jamal Charles and right. Derrick Johnson and Ryan Lilja, who gut it out every week. At some point, these guys are starving for a win.
They really are, and they're saying all the right things, and I truly believe them. I mean, sometimes you know when people are just trying to give you lip service. It's not that. These guys are out practicing hard. They came out and played a good game. When it came down to it, it was a team that made a few more plays than them, but you sure like to get them rewarded for the efforts that they're putting forth right now.
Okay, one interesting note, we alluded to it earlier, was Donald Stevenson had to start at left tackle, the Chiefs' third-round pick, Blue Springs Wildcat. Congratulations to them. They rout their opponent to win the state title. But the Chiefs in this game, going against the two best rushers in this league, statistically, have to start their second-round pick and third-round pick on the left side. What did you think of Donald Stevenson?
You know what? I thought it was fabulous, Mitch. When you look at him, I'm going to tell you right now, Elvis Dumervil came in thinking, okay, I'm going to have a fun day with this guy, first start at left tackle. I'm going to tell you right now, Stevenson got in his grill, and he went a little bit ghetto on him, and I like it. He was in his grill all day talking to him. He was punching him out. I mean, they were getting into it the entire day. It was interesting to see a rookie react like that. And what do you see with Dumervil? No sacks, only two tackles. For the most part, largely held him ineffective.
And again, that edge that he had kind of permeated right down the offensive line. When I watched the end zone version of the coach's tape, I saw attitude from the offensive line. They again hit Denver. What about Donald Stevenson thrown into the deep end of the pool against these two pass rushers?
It was a part of the whole offense. You know, the quarterback did a good job getting the ball out, tight ends with chips and bangs and stuff like that. And I think they did a good job helping us out. But it was a lot of work during the week to make sure we was prepared.
For you, a lot better than it was the game against Cincinnati, though?
Yeah. Cincinnati, I was trying to, you know, fill it out. But, you know, this game, I knew if I try to go out there and try to fill it out and figure out how the game was going to go, I'd probably get my butt kicked. So came out aggressive and knew I had to play hard. The more you prepare yourself through the week and how hard you practice, it kind of gives you more confidence when Sunday comes around. If you don't prepare right and you don't practice right, you have a right to go in there a little bit nervous because you don't have confidence in what you did all week.
Okay, this league, you played in it 15 years. When you're thrown into a role like that, you work off instinct and fear. Now I want to ask you to do it a second week in a row. The instinct and fear wears off. Now it has to become skill and effort and doing it for 2 weeks in a row. What about doing it against a good off-edge group of the Panthers that people don't even know about?
Well, you're exactly right, because those four down linemen for the Carolina Panthers, people couldn't name their names right now, but they have a lot of sacks. They've done a lot of good things. What I see, Mitch, in Donald Stevenson is a guy right there and seeing him interviewed, the game's not too big for him. You can just tell the way he holds himself that he's ready to go. Now the big question is what you said. Can he do it 2 games in a row? Because the big thing in the NFL, anybody can have a good game, and I'm not getting on you, Donald. The fact is, though, can you come back and can you do it again? Because, quite honestly, to be successful down this last 5-game stretch, you're going to have to.
And he kind of helped Jeff Allen in this game. When I watched it and I saw his footwork, he was able to scoop block.
Right.
He set the edge a couple times. But Jeff talked about it last night on the Chiefs Kingdom show, where he said those two knew going into the week that Albert was going to be able to play. And so it was kind of the iron sharpening iron here. But I got a feeling that Stevenson helped Jeff Allen.
I think you're exactly right. When it comes down to it, as a player, you're playing for the respect of your teammates also. You want to win and everything. That's the byproduct of playing hard for your teammates. And I think those two, knowing they're rookies, you know, second and third round pick, you know, you drafted them for a reason, and they're showing that right now. Of course, Allen, he's been there the good part of the year, so is he a rookie? Yeah, but he's been there for a little while. But when you come in for that first time, like Stevenson did, and do what he did, not only in the pass rush, but more importantly, I think, in the run game, because I wasn't so sure. I was wondering whether we were just going to be right-handed the entire game. Mm-hmm. But we went left just as much as we went right, and we really did a good job of it, the Chiefs.
And had as much success going left
Certainly.
As going right. Charles Johnson, though, waits for the Carolina Panthers. The Charles Johnson you don't know about, but you will shortly. We'll talk about him in just a little bit. But let's talk about defensively and what the Chiefs were able to do in this game. For the most part, they tackled well, sans the one drive. They
right.
covered well, but again, it was a constant day of playing mostly consistent defense. They made Peyton Manning have to be at his best to beat them.
Well, you're right, and as you see Houston getting there on the sack, and of course he got two on the day, and I think takes his total up to nine for the year. But when it came down to it, they made Peyton Manning uncomfortable most of the day. But even in that uncomfort, he was able, like we talked about earlier, to slide one way or the other, gain a little extra time, and get the ball out. Like I said, sometimes borderline end over end, but get it there and allow people to make some plays. But in the end, the fact was he made the Chiefs defend the entire field, and that's what it was. Now, things like this, I mean, coming into this game, they had not been sacked very many times, and so to get two like you did and really a third that didn't count because he got a yard past the line of scrimmage is something to be hopefully emulated this week. It'll be different with Carolina. You won't be in that 4-2 defense, I don't think, as much, but it's going to be interesting to see if they can carry over some of the success they had as a defense this week.
And you see, again, also up the middle, job being done. Tyson Jackson and Dontari Poe. How much is Dontari Poe improving every week when we watch it?
Well, I'm glad you bring Dontari up because I got a chance to talk to him after the game also. And in watching him, he's understanding leverage. He's getting in between blocks. People, I mean, he's pressing the pocket a little bit to where people can't step up and you're not able to run the defensive ends around anymore because the integrity of the pocket has been violated. So he's doing some good things. He's a much better player in Game 11 than he was in Game 1 this year.
If the Chiefs play defense like this against Carolina, they've got an awesome shot at beating them, particularly with Carolina going off a short week and playing road. However, the scheme will be totally different against the Panthers because of Cam Newton and what they do and what they did last night against the Philadelphia Eagles. But for the Chiefs to win a game this week and to get a first home win at Arrowhead Stadium, the red zone. It was a problem last year. The Chiefs were last in the league by far in the red zone. It was a point of emphasis in the OTAs, point of emphasis in training camp, preseason. And here they are again, last in the league in the red zone. There were shots. How do they improve in the red zone this week when they get an opportunity against a good Carolina defense?
You know what? I hope they take a few cues from what Denver did this week in terms of spreading the ball around. You've got to make Carolina defend the entire field. Screens, draws, you throw the ball down the field a little bit, although when you're in the red zone, obviously the field compresses a little bit. You hopefully throw some crossing routes and hit people in stride so they can run after the catch. In general, you make them defend the whole field. If you only hit different spots that you're comfortable with, they can key on that as a defense, and thus you're not successful.
I want to ask you about the red zone because you made defending the whole field. The whole field, it almost becomes a little bit of a vertical game instead of horizontally. Man, the good red zone teams that I see, of course, you got great quarterback play, but they're also able to pressure you on all 53 yards width of the field, so you can't key on certain spots.
You're exactly right. And one good thing that I saw this week, because the two passes to Moyaki this week, one was the second read, the other one was a hot route. And this wasn't Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn Red Moondog 7. This was an actual hot route where they were bringing a safety up, and another safety was going to come down and cover him as he went out to the flat. But Brady recognized it. He got it to Moyaki, and Moyaki had to recognize it on the run. He did. They got him. It was a nice pass down the left edge of the sideline. A good job. You need more stuff like that happening.
Did you just go wedding crashers
I did.
On me?
I went
you went
wedding
crashers
on me.
Red seven, hot route. Maryland and crab cakes in football. That's what we do. Maryland's going to the Big Ten with crab cakes. Figure it out. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Carolina game. again defensively. This takes on a whole new look for Kansas City as Cam Newton comes to town on a short week, and the Chiefs look to get their second win, first win at home, and try to avoid the worst start in franchise history. Time to win a game this week. We'll chat about it when we come back.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women, 40 years and older, are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center, and schedule a screening today. It can save your life. With the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate. If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on kcchiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
You know, they're just so passionate about the team and how we do. You know, everywhere you go around here, if somebody recognizes you, they're just so happy, so supportive. And when you go to the stadium, it's just so loud. Everybody's so excited. They're so hard on the other teams. The fans are just great. They just make everything about the city and team better.
Well, welcome back. It was Toys for Tots week. I want to bring that up because we didn't bring that up yet in the show. This is one of these special weeks. The Chiefs were kind of the first in the league to do this, but there will be Marine Corps active duty guys and gals around the stadium to take your donations for unwrapped toys, children 13 and under, or you can make a monetary donation. But if you're coming to the game this week, remember, this is the Toys for Tots game, so make sure you bring a gift for those who need it in the Chiefs' kingdom. Some needy kids make their holiday time special. Okay. Here come the Carolina Panthers. Now, let me say this first and foremost. You're getting the Panthers, who look good on Monday night in beating Philadelphia on the road. How tough is it, though? You played in this league, a road game on Monday night. We know what it's like. You get off the plane at 4 in the morning, and it's Tuesday of the next week. Now you got to go on the road again. They're going to be coming here Saturday. That's a tough thing to do.
No, it really is. And you got home early Tuesday morning. You let them have the day off. They come back in Wednesday. They have a walkthrough. They're not going to be in pads. It's basically a learning day. They might get a little more going on Thursday, but eventually then you're into your Friday and you're getting your legs back under them. So it is to the Chiefs' advantage as far as their schedule, that is Carolina, and how they're approaching this game coming across the country to us. So it will be interesting to see. But that being said, Carolina's got some weapons now. You know, you talked about the military, and it was Military Appreciation Week a couple weeks ago. It needs to be Military Appreciation Week maybe this week in terms of the Chiefs' defense calling some of the academies and learning how to defend the triple option, because I saw it last night. I mean, it's just crazy.
Did you just go Commander-in-Chief trophy on me?
It's been a crazy day for me.
You just went Air Force, Navy, and Army here. All right, Cam Newton. This is fresh from last night. It starts with playing the zone read. They run college-type plays. I know if you're an Auburn fan and a Chiefs fan, you're pawing in the dirt watching highlights of 2010 because 2012 is pretty much paper shredded. But this guy last night looked like he was back at Auburn winning the Heisman Trophy. But I want to ask you about, this is not a typical NFL offense.
No.
Much of the time. How do you defend it?
You know what? I think you do get into your zones back there, but you've got to have, I think, somebody spying Cam Newton at all times. This is a guy, I mean, how often, I'll just answer the question, it's rhetorical. Never do you ever have the QB of a team who leads the team in rushing as well. This is a guy that gets out of the pocket and goes. You've got to keep him contained in the pocket. I think you've got to have somebody spying him. The one good thing, although you're seeing a couple decent passes right there, in general, I do not think he's a very accurate passer, so that will be interesting. But, you know, the first two plays we saw was him going to Steve Smith and Greg Olsen. And Greg Olsen I bring up because he's the tight end, and that's something that has bit the Chiefs this year quite a bit. But, yeah, you look at his stats this year, doing some good things, the 60% completion. He's accounted for 17 touchdowns this year, yeah. Passing or rushing. All but three rushing.
I wish we could put this in a bigger font. Look at the lower right, 20 rushing touchdowns in the National Football League in basically a year and a half for Cam Newton. 20 rushing touchdowns. He looks like, when he takes off and runs with it, which he did last night against Philadelphia, first of all, you got the zone read that you right. got to respect. So if you're spying him, let's say you have a Derek Johnson spying him, he's got to play Cam right. Newton on that. That means the everybody else or the other people better have gap control, right? Or the running back takes off. Stewart got hurt, but D'Angelo Williams is very good.
You're exactly right. Romeo talks about it all the time. You've got to do your job and be there and not try to make too many plays. But that's the thing, because it's hard. It's not something that you see every week. It's something that you never see, basically. I'm curious. I don't know if he's redefining the position or if it's just an anomaly. But the fact is, he takes out of the pocket, Mitch, and he's a long strider. You don't think he's running very fast. Then all of a sudden, he's 15 yards down the field. I mean, he is an incredible athlete. I will give him that for certain.
Well, he does cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time and does it seemingly effortlessly. Now, he's got some targets. Steve Smith is the most targeted guy, and we know what he can do. Smith is nasty here on the slant, but he runs good out routes. He's got balance. To me, he reminds me of Reggie Wayne. Not a prototypical size in a receiver, but a lot of power. You see LaFell there. He's got some places he can go. You talked about Greg Olsen a little bit earlier. But Cam Newton running the football. First of all, you go back to your Tim Tebow plan of last year a little bit when you held Tebow in that 7-3 win here. Tebow only completed two passes in the Bronco win. So you kind of pull that out and go back to your college days for these defenders. But the difference with this guy, Cam Newton, is he can pull it out and shoot it 50 yards down the field.
Well, you're exactly right, and I'm going to go back just a little bit. The fact is, when you talk about Tebow, to me, he's a mutter, whereas Cam Newton's a quarter horse, but you're exactly right. Then he can get back, and he can just straight throw that ball down there. And you know, you talked about Steve Smith, Brandon LaFell, those guys averaging 16 yards a catch and 17.6 a catch, so they're making big plays, and even the tight end has 49 catches. He's had three TDs. I mean, they've got some weapons, but when it comes down to it, the one intangible that I do not like about Cam Newton is his attitude on the field and how he is. I mean, I guess you do have to have fun, but to me, it looks a little bit too relaxed at times, and I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'd love to see the defense get on him quickly and maybe thump him a couple times and make sure he knows that he's in for an all-day sucker.
Did you just go Seabiscuit on me?
I might have.
You just went Seabiscuit on me.
It's movie day.
I think the guy Seabiscuit and War Admiral all in the same deal. I mean, he's not running against – he's got the power of War Admiral and everything else of Seabiscuit, but you're right in handling certain pressures. This is Mike Tolbert, who they picked up from San Diego. The Chiefs know all about this cat, but it's just a different way of defending than the Chiefs did last week. So Romeo Crennel and Gary Gibbs and the rest of the defensive staff and the Chiefs defenders have got to play differently this week, scheme-wise, effort-wise, against this Carolina approach, and you're probably going to do it without Kendrick Lewis, which means – the Peyton Manning of the Chiefs defense, somebody's going to have to line them up right, because how big is alignment, just alignment, in playing gap control against this kind of option-style offense of Carolina?
Well, it's everything, because if you're out of a line, then you're outflanked, and they've got the angles on you, and you're able to cut the defense. And that's from the run game. But if you don't get lined up as a defensive backfield, then they take advantage of that, then you're going to have a long day as well. But again, having Kendrick out, and of course, I wouldn't expect him to play for what I saw. I think he's getting MRIs today. Of course, you're evaluating Dexter McCluster. As usual, the Chiefs are dealing with injuries, but the fact is it's the NFL. You're always dealing with injuries. Right. You've just got to deal with it and go on.
But Eric Berry, Abe Elam, those safeties have got to make sure they're lined up right and get everybody else lined up right. Now, here we take a look at the Carolina Panthers. They are 3-8. They have lost a gob of close games. You could easily reverse this record or at least put them at a 6-5, Kendall, because they've had shots. They've had leads in the second half repeatedly. Last night was key for them because they finished the job against Philly. But what about them not able to finish in earlier games?
Well, you're right. Only the Giants and Denver have beat them. Giants by 29 and Denver by 22. Other than that, the other six games they've lost, they lost by an average of 4 points, one of those being in overtime. So, yeah, you're exactly right. You're not stretching the truth to say that they could be much better than they are right now. And with that, that's a dangerous team. That's a team that's gotten close several times, but as you said, couldn't finish as they came down the stretch.
And they're in a rich division. Atlanta, we all know what they're doing. Tampa Bay's been hot. And New Orleans trying to come up the outside rail, trying to salvage their season. All right, so it's a big game for Carolina. Where do the Chiefs have a shot in this game? Cue the Ninja Warrior. Here we come, Jamaal Charles. Still one of the top rushers in the league. Here we go with Sean Drone on a quick pop, and this is the play where the Chiefs go to that two-back old-school sweep to McCluster. But what about Jamaal Charles and the chance to pop big plays against the Carolina Panthers? Because Bryce Brown did it last night. The ex-K-Stater, he did it for Philadelphia.
Well, as you pay attention to here to all these Jamaal Charles runs, the one thing that stands out to me is the fact that he's getting to the line of scrimmage or sometimes 2 or 3 yards past the line of scrimmage before he gets touched. That's huge. The offensive line must continue to move the line of scrimmage. They must continue to occupy the down linemen and get to the linebackers. And that's not going to be any small task with what you got there in the middle. The rookie, Luke Kuechly, doing a good job with 105 tackles this year. Just amazing.
And the Chiefs still lead the AFC in rushing. They're a 1-10 record. Jamaal Charles, his yards per carry is amazing when you look at a 1-10 team.
It is, because when the Chiefs are going in to play people, they're like, okay, you guys know. You know they're going to run Jamaal Charles, right? And they're like, yeah, okay, well, this is how we're going to defend it. Yet he comes up with 80, 90, 100 yards each game. I mean, it's amazing when people know what's going to happen and they're still not stopping it.
Well, his toughness has just been something to applaud.
For a guy who was told that he was a little bit too small in the league and couldn't last and couldn't hold up, this is a guy that's done a really, really good job.
Okay, here you go. The defense has got to shift the paradigm. Jamaal Charles has got to pop some big runs. And let's throw this in there, too. There's got to be some productivity from the wide receiver position. Just some.
Right.
Because Carolina is susceptible there on the deep end a little bit. And then you hope that Tony Moyaki, if he can pop some chunk plays like he has done 3 weeks in a row
now,
go down the line, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and in the last week's game against Denver. If they can get Moyaki to pop some chunk plays in the passing game, and then let the ninja do his thing.
Yeah, you're right. And you don't have to be a world beater at the wide receiver position. Just make some plays or have it be a threat so you can open up the run game a little bit. Because when it comes down to it, if the Chiefs win, they're going to be successful in the run game.
And I'm going to go Lincoln movie on you here.
Uh-oh.
Lincoln. Who's going to do it when it's hard? It's time to win a game. It's time to win a game at home. Don't forget, it's Toys for Tots week. We'll see how this comes out as the Carolina Panthers come to town here for the first time in 8 years. For the snapper, that's Kendall Gammon. I'm the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Live.